Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. And Robert, we're here in France, Lourdes, France.
I know, I'm gaining weight, Deacon Jeff. This French food in our cafe is, these croissants are...
I'm not much of a breakfast eater, but I do here.
Yes, and lunch, and dinner.
The cappuccinos, the cafe lattes, the cafe au lait. You just keep going down the cafe aisle, and all the pastries.
Is that what pilgrimage is about, Deacon Jeff?
You know what? Maybe we should invite a guest to talk about what pilgrimage is and what that means.
Yes, it's got to be something other than gaining weight.
Oh, the people you meet on pilgrimage. So to remind everyone, we are here on pilgrimage in Lourdes, France, with the Order of Malta. We've met so many interesting people, and we brought along with us a bishop.
That's right.
Who we met, and we just wanted to talk. This is Bishop Emeritus of the Diocese of Arlington, Bishop Paul Laverty. And so welcome, Your Excellency. We're so happy to have you here in the Catholic Cafe.
Deacon Jeff, thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here with you, too.
Very good.
Here at the cafe.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about pilgrimage, and I know you probably have been on a pilgrimage or two in your time.
Or three.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been on several, yes. But I'd like to begin with the very image of pilgrimage, which can be fascinating.
Right.
And the idea of pilgrimage, first of all, is the fact that we're on a journey. And if you recall, a number of years ago, at the time of the Great Jubilee, as we were preparing, the then Holy Father, now a saint, John Paul II, introduced the first year of preparation was in honor of God the Father. And he used a very interesting phrase. We are on a pilgrimage to the Father's house.
Oh.
And I think of life, if we would think of it that life is itself a pilgrimage of our journeying to the Father's house.
To the final destination.
Yes.
Right. Your Excellency, do you think that people, though, a lot of times, they don't realize that they're on a pilgrimage and they end up sort of, I don't say getting lost, but essentially they don't see the Father's house as a destination.
I think that's often true. I think we miss the fact that we're created not only to enjoy the beauty of this world, and it has many beautiful, beautiful aspects, of course, because it was made by God.
Yes.
But ultimately, we're made to be with God forever, in His dwelling, with Him. And we use that image of the Father's house. And so we're all together on a pilgrimage to that house, and we're all united through our common baptism. There we are, having been plunged into Christ, made brothers and sisters with Christ, sons and daughters of the Father on the journey. And I think it's a wonderful way for us to look at life. Yes, it has many ups and downs, as every pilgrimage does.
That's right.
You know, not every pilgrimage is just a walk in the roses.
Yeah, I know. Wouldn't it be nice if everything was
there? Yeah. But if we think of life that way, it gives us a meaning. It gives us a goal and a purpose.
Well, I love that you just said and mentioned that we were all plunged into the waters of baptism, right?
Yes.
And so that would also help us to understand that we're not on this pilgrimage alone, right? We're journeying with others.
It is, yeah. Because we are really meant to help one another get to the Father's house. That's why we truly are brothers and sisters. First of all, the human family, but even more deeply, once we've been made fellow brothers and sisters in the family of Christ. So I think if we could begin that way, it does give another vision of life, another view. I think that's awfully important for life.
You know, I think I teach RCIA, and one of the things I talk about is this idea that the whole reason for Earth and our time on Earth is essentially a preparation for heaven.
That's right.
And so a lot of people miss that, right? They miss that concept.
We do, you know, because we get very caught up in this world.
Mm.
And sometimes we think of only it's this world. But as beautiful as this world is, St. Augustine said it well, didn't he? Our hearts are restless, Lord, until they rest in you.
So it's good to have this in sight always, the journey, but where that journey is to end.
Yes, right.
God's will be done, you know, but where
Lord willing,
the creek don't rise, where we're going to end up is really what this is all
and
about.
And he wills us to be with him. And he gives us every grace, every way of helping us, if only we would cooperate.
Right. When, and like a pilgrimage, when you're on what people would view a pilgrimage, life also brings you opportunities for those graces, right? The sacraments and things that,
right.
that help us along on this
that's
journey.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, Deacon Jeff, because I've always, if life is a pilgrimage, how does going on a particular pilgrimage help us? I mean, because I could see a Catholic saying, well, I go to Mass every Sunday. What is the benefit of making a pilgrimage? How does that help, Bishop Laverde?
Well, it's true. Mm-hmm. We have specific pilgrimages, so to speak.
Right, so if life is this big pilgrimage, we can kind of bring our focus down
into specific ways,
right?
Specific places. So, for example, sometimes we're invited to go to the Holy Land on pilgrimage, mm-hmm. or to go to Rome on pilgrimage. And we find ourselves here at Lourdes on pilgrimage. Within a few days, people are going to be in Fatima for the 100th anniversary
right.
of the apparition of Our Lady at Fatima. They're going on pilgrimage.
Right.
So we have these specific times when we get together with other people and we travel to a place because there we want to open our hearts to God's grace in that place, recalling what happened there. They're celebrating sacraments. They're coming to a deeper sense of conversion. And so these are specific pilgrimages that have a kind of a very focused way.
A character about them, really.
Right, to
that
remind
helps
us of
them.
the final pilgrimage.
Do you think it's because of we're going to a place where something significant happened, and we as people like to be, to touch, to be near where, like where our Lord actually walked, or
that's
where
right.
the Blessed Mother appeared, or there's something
special about the
tangible.
Place.
There's something tangible.
Yeah,
there's something appealing and attractive. It's like we want to embrace it, or be embraced by it.
Right.
I think that's neat, though, because again, I see the connection. And there, and while we celebrate Christmas, while we celebrate the incarnation where the Lord takes on flesh, but because he comes to tell us that, you know, the things of the flesh do matter. They were
yes.
created by him.
That's right.
And so these
right.
these things that
right.
that enliven our flesh as well, when not taken out of context, obviously, are beautiful gifts to
they
us.
Yeah, yeah. Because we are incarnational people.
Mm.
Right. And that's, in fact, the very fact of why we have sacraments.
Yes.
Because they're visible. They're tangible. They're ways through which Christ meets us,
yeah.
through a sight, through water, through oil, through a hand on the head. These are tangible ways.
And sometimes these specific, particular pilgrimages are ways in which we can receive a special grace that sort of has a character about it.
That's right. That's right. For example, when we're here at Lourdes or in any Marian shrine, and the character there is we're reminded that we go to Jesus through Mary. It's a very specific way of reminding us of our journey.
You know, I was going to say, Robert, he just mentioned Mary, so we have to talk about Mary for a second, because this is where we are, right?
We are.
And we have a very large, we're blessed with a very large non-Catholic audience as well, and sometimes some folks have a problem with Jesus through Mary, and they have a little problem with intercession and understanding why this is so valuable, why we Catholics treasure this as a great gift of the Lord to us, on the cross to give us His Mother. Could you speak a moment about to help some people understand a
sure.
little bit about that relationship?
Sure. Sometimes people do wonder why we have a veneration of saints, particularly of the Blessed Mother. Well, it's because we look upon them as friends.
Mm.
You know, even in this life, sometimes we need a favor from someone, and if you know a friend of that person, you go to that person and say, can you intercede for me? Can you open the door for me? I'm looking for a job here, and I don't know quite how to approach it.
Right.
Can you help me? And that's the whole role of intercession. These are men and women who now are with God, especially the Blessed Mother, but all the saints, and we don't adore them.
Right.
We honor them. We ask their help that they might get us to the same place where they are with
and
God.
And arguably, they're more alive than they ever were.
That's
when
right.
they're in the presence of the Creator, right?
Of course they are.
Yeah, how beautiful. And I've talked to some folks and helped them see this image of understanding why we might say a prayer in front of a statue. We're not worshiping the statue, right? And I help them understand by saying, I know you probably have a picture of your wife at your bedside or your grandmother. And if you were to kiss that picture, you're not kissing your glass, and you're not worshiping that as an object. It's a sort of a prototype. It's helping you to see to see your grandmother or whoever's beloved to you.
It's a sign of love, sign of honor, sign of respect.
You know, Deacon Jeff, I think one thing that we're talking about that, which is really interesting, though, is like we're from Memphis. And I think part of pilgrimage, too, or that concept, is if you love somebody, you want to be where they were. Think all the people that go to Graceland every year. I mean, I've always seen that people like to go because they want to be where Elvis was because they care.
Well, Robert, have you been on a pilgrimage to Graceland? Is that what you're telling us here?
No, but I've seen all the people with the vigils and looks like a pilgrimage.
Indeed.
But it showed something, I think, Excellency, about human nature, that we want to be close to holy. We want to be close to people we care about.
Yes.
And I think that same thing in a much deeper and real way with religious pilgrimage, we want to go to places where our Lord was or where the Blessed Mother appeared. Right.
Well, it's like here. Today I was, we were all together for Mass, right? And they're looking at the very, very spot. And I kept looking up to where the statue of Our Lady of Lourdes is. And I was thinking, it was there that Our Lady actually appeared. And Bernadette was kneeling somewhere down here, and she looked up. And she didn't see a statue. She saw Our Lady appearing to her. It's something very special to be there.
Right.
And I think that's one of the reasons why we go to a place.
Right.
You know?
And, you know, it's special also. You walk in there, and on the floor there's a little marquee or a little placard where Pope St. John Paul II, knelt in prayer, and it's like that's marked. And so, again, we see it important to go somewhere where it happened. And
absolutely,
I've had that same feeling of being in the grotto. It's a very special place.
It is.
And you sense something special happened there.
Very special, yes.
When I went, Excellency, I was lucky enough to go on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and I went, and there's a sign of the Church of the Incarnation, and there's a sign that says, the Word became flesh here. And it was just such a powerful, profound, that here is where, I mean, that yes, I know Lord Jesus is everywhere and all, but there's something about going to a place where something significant happened to really tie into that.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we are talking to Bishop Paul Laverty. He's the Bishop Emeritus of the Diocese of Arlington. I know they love him in Arlington. We all love him, and we're going to talk some more about pilgrimage and maybe get into a little more detail here about Lourdes when we come back. Before we do that, I'll remind folks at home, we got a great website, thecatholiccafe.com. Also, I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email, deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. And with that, we'll be right back.
I'm Bess Drzymski, and this is another great moment in church history. Born in England in the late 7th century, a man named Winfrith felt called to the monastic life and joined the Benedictines at an early age. It was not long before he flourished in the faith and became recognized as a powerful conduit for the Holy Spirit to all those he encountered. Tradition tells us that the Pope himself changed Winfrith's name to Boniface, a name that means good fortune. Saint Boniface was very well thought of in the Catholic Church in England and would have most definitely excelled there, but he felt a burning desire to carry the gospel message to those who were not yet Christians. He focused his attention on continental Europe, where a colorful array of pagan religions was beginning to take root. With an evangelistic zeal, he crossed the seas and found himself settled in Germany, where he went to work straight away sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. One story is told of how Saint Boniface had become so distressed by the pagan worship of trees in Germany that he decided to go to the public square and cut down a giant oak tree dedicated to the god Thor. The townspeople looked on in horror, fully expecting Thor to avenge the horrid deed and punish Saint Boniface. But nothing happened. They became convinced that the God of Saint Boniface, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, was the one true God. Many were converted to Christianity because of this one simple act on the part of Saint Boniface. As Saint Boniface entered his 80s, he resigned all his positions of leadership and once again went back to his roots of the simple missionary life, Though he was advanced in years, he was still a compelling force for the church. He converted many to Catholicism, but at the same time made his enemies all the more jealous of his successes for God. In 754, St. Boniface and 53 of his followers were murdered by a band of pagans determined to stop the continuing spread of Catholicism. Without any resistance whatsoever, they quietly laid down their lives for Christ and his church. St. Boniface was lovingly referred to as the Apostle of the Germans. Recalling the years that St. Boniface worked in Germany, a well-known German church historian stated, "To us, this was a period of light, when the light of the gospel and of Christian civilization came to us." The feast day of St. Boniface is celebrated by the Universal Church on June 4th. I'm Bess Drzymski, and this is another great moment in church history.
Welcome back to the Catholic Cafe. Here's Deacon Jeff.
And we're back in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. Indeed, it's made ever more luxurious by present company. We have Bishop Paul Laverty. I don't know if you'd call yourself luxurious, would you?
No.
You are a humble man, and I appreciate you taking your time. I have a busy schedule to be here with us, and you're giving us some great insight on the concept of pilgrimage. We talked about life sort of as a pilgrimage. We got a little more specific, which there are places that we go that have special meaning, just as a family member might visit a deceased loved one by going to the graveyard, yes. Right, and visiting. It's almost like making a pilgrimage. We can look at it that way.
It is, sure.
And then, so maybe we're here in Lourdes, France, with the Order of Malta. We come every year. Maybe you can reflect a little bit on your experiences here at Lourdes.
Well, it's been a wonderful, wonderful moment in my life to be here with the Knights and Dames of Malta on this particular pilgrimage, which, as you say, every year they come and bring the malades, that is, people who are ill,
right.
Here. They accompany them. They serve them in many ways. It's a marvelous outreach of this Order of Malta. And I've been here before, but it's the first time I've come with the order, and it's the first time I've come as a malade.
As a malade, yes.
Yes, in a sense. I mean, I retired just about 4 months ago, and I've been in fairly good health until last year when I began to have serious problems with my back. That's somewhat better, but the thing that has occurred now is a great deal of difficulty with my neck, and I won't go into all of those things except that it is a situation where I'm not quite sure how it's going to be alleviated.
Right.
And, I came here in one way asking if Our Lady and Our Lord willed that it would be alleviated. I don't know about that. I did ask for the grace, though, to accept whatever it is that it is of God's will. And I think that's the great grace of being at Lourdes. It's not so much a physical healing, although many would like that. But I think the deeper healing is the healing of being able, with a certain graciousness and acceptance, of doing whatever God wills. And knowing that our suffering can be made one with the suffering of Christ, and that way it has infinite value.
Yeah, meaning and purpose. And that we talk about, in our faith, we talk about redemptive suffering.
Right.
And the idea that, well, Jesus did a whole lot for us by dying on the cross. I mean, I'm understating that amazing fact, but it was, that's how God chose to reconcile all of us to Him.
Right.
Through His
Son's redemptive death, yes.
So when we connect our suffering in a way to that, we become sort of
co-redeemers in that sense.
We're in the process of assisting.
Right, right. It's a mystery how the Lord can assume, can take on to Himself our suffering, as He took on all sin and made reparation for it. But we can unite our suffering with His, and in that sense, in some mysterious way, fill up what is lacking to the body of Christ.
Now we're quoting St. Paul,
and that's so
beautiful to know that, because I always wonder, you know, there was a time in my life, and it's like, Paul must have been crazy that he's rejoicing in his sufferings.
Right,
what brings him the joy?
Yes, the joy. It's not so much the joy in actual suffering,
right.
But it's knowing that it's not wasted, that it has a purpose, it has a meaning. And that changes it completely.
Bishop Liberty, didn't our Lord say we had to suffer? I mean, it's always puzzled me that any follower must take up your cross. Right. It's right. Like mm-hmm. it's almost like the Christian life is sort of. Mm-hmm. I mean, do we value suffering? Is that a
well?
Term,
I think in our society we don't. We see it as a horrible evil. In itself, it is an evil. We don't look to suffer, but when suffering comes our way, what do we do with it? We can either curse it, or we can turn it to a blessing. And there's the choice we have. And if we take it and unite it to Christ, it becomes a blessing. And that's what I'm trying to see, even in my own life, that, you know, whatever this might be, however it will end up, I don't know. But I know that the way it will be of benefit will be if I can always keep it united to Christ and have the help of Our Lady to do that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people, I think, that would question you and say, how can, if you don't know the outcome and you don't know how it's going to be, wouldn't that lead you to a life of anxiety and question and doubt? And yet still you have a sense of serenity and peace about you.
And trust. Yeah, we have to trust.
That's hard to do, isn't it?
Very hard.
We all suffer, don't we, Bishop Laverty? Either if it's physical ailments spiritual or moral or depression or children that causes suffering, or it just seems like that's part of the human condition.
It is. The human condition is a wounded condition through the first sin of Adam.
Yeah.
You know, we call that the original sin. And the effects of it, this life's not perfect. It just is not. As much as we'd love it to be, it's imperfect. And therefore, it brings a mixture, and some of that mixture is joy, and some is suffering. And so, therefore, we need to do something with it.
And what a wonderful Father that loves us even in our imperfections, right? In spite of all the terrible things that we do and say.
Yes, He never gives up.
Right, and we're created in His image and likeness. Right. He wants us to understand that we have a dignity.
Right.
And so, I think He wants us to be at peace.
Yes.
And so that's why a place like Lourdes is so powerful, because you come here, and the first time I showed up here, I had a sense, you come into the domain, right, you know, past the Rosary Basilica, you go along the river there, and you sit there at the grotto with the candles at night, and it gives you a sense of peace, doesn't it?
It does. This is my third trip here. My first with Malta, my third trip. And every time, it's been the same experience, that once you leave the busyness of the city, as such, and enter the gate, it's like you've entered a quiet new world. It's a world of grace, a world of peace, a world of surrender, an inspiring world. It's just amazing.
And I would imagine that people, Your Excellency, who would listen to this might think like, well, that's fine for going to Lourdes. It's fine if you see your life as some big pilgrimage and you go to these places. But like, what am I to do every day with my life?
Yes. Well, I think here's, take that same image we've been talking about, pilgrimage, and to look at life as a mini pilgrimage. What do I have? I don't know. I've spent yesterday. I don't know if tomorrow will come, but I have now.
Mm.
I have what we call the sacrament of the present moment. And if I can live this life well, every hour of this life well, in union with Jesus. And I think that's why we encourage people at the very beginning of the day to make a morning offering.
Right.
You know, to offer the whole day up as a prayer. It has this kind of mini pilgrimage. And when I close my eyes tonight, will it be just a temporary sleep and I'll wake up?
Right.
Or
and
will
eternal.
The Lord have called me home?
Yeah.
You know, you don't know that.
That's
why at night we should say, you know, we entrust ourselves to God. Like one of the beautiful prayers we might say at the evening after the act of contrition, we've asked God for sorrow. We can say, Lord, into your hands I commend my spirit, as Jesus did.
Wow.
Or Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, take my soul, receive me. Very beautiful.
And you just spend a mini pilgrimage.
That's it.
That day was lived that way. And then, you know, it's built into our faith.
Right.
Our Lord taught us a prayer, right? And He said, give us this day
our daily bread.
Right, versus give us this day, give me my weekly bread. Can I sign up for about a month or two?
Right,
can I win the lotto?
Right.
And it's like, listen to this day.
This day, that's right.
That's so beautiful.
It's what we have today. If you live every day well, then it'll be a life lived well. It will be the final trust, act of trust, will be passing over into the Father's arms.
And we long to hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
Yes.
Right. So that's if we look at every day as an opportunity, because you said yesterday was spent, right? Yesterday is spent, and that's important to understand that if people have they've made mistakes, this is why we have the beautiful sacrament of confession.
That's right.
But that tomorrow is a new day, and when we wake up in the morning this morning,
that's right.
I don't often quote ex-presidents wise, but Eleanor Roosevelt was said to have said, "Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift." And that's why we call it the present, she said.
Right.
But the point is that it just speaks right to that. Let's live today as a new day, as a new opportunity. Mm-hmm. And if you're already close to the Lord, we can get so much closer.
And if we're not close, we can begin today.
Right.
So your experience here in Lourdes, your experience really as a bishop, all these different things that you've done with your life, and you see yourself, do you see yourself having lived or living in the context of pilgrimage?
Yes, I see my whole life as a pilgrimage. Yeah, a pilgrimage of trust, not knowing, I never realized how it would go. But if we put ourselves in God's hands and trust Him, then He'll lead us. And it'll be all right. It'll be okay.
That's beautiful. Because
the Father's love is with us, and Jesus walks with us. And with Jesus is His Holy Mother Mary.
See, I always feel better when I sit and listen. So we listen to Bishop Livardi, and he helps us feel better. And I hope the listeners hear this and realize how much God loves you. And He's calling you on a pilgrimage every day of your life.
To the Father's house
forever.
Exactly. How beautiful. And so, Your Excellency, thank you so much for spending time with us here.
It's been a wonderful, wonderful moment in the cafe.
Very good. And so would you leave us with a blessing?
Sure. Dear Lord, I ask You to bless all our listeners, that we may open our hearts to the grace You give us, and having the example and strength of Your beloved Mother, that we would come to You and enjoy with You the Father's love forever. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association and is broadcast with ecclesial permission from the Most Reverend Martin D. Holly, Bishop of Memphis in Tennessee. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.